जय राधमा भव कुंज बिहारे,
The following is a lecture by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, Verse Number 38, delivered on 8th of July 2016 in Vancouver, Canada.
Gopi Jana Bala Bha Jivala Dhari भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हाय कृष्णा।
Always think of your lotus feet. everything within this world, because all things are also your different forms. And may our eyes see your forms of Vaishnavas who are none different from you. Please repeat after me. Henceforward, may all our words describe your pastimes. May our ears engage in our perception of your glories. May our hands, legs, and other senses engage in actions pleasing to you. And our minds. Always think of your lotus feet. May our hands offer obeisances to everything. Within this world. Because all things are also your different forms.
This pastime is verse that he just read, this verse is being spoken by the two sons of Kabira, whose names are Manikbhima and Nalakumara. We'll discuss the verse a little later. These two sons of Kabira were spoiled, just like you see in our normal society. Children of rich parents very easily get spoiled. Yes, true or false? True. True, it's universally true. It's not that children of poor families don't get spoiled. They also get spoiled, but children of rich parents get spoiled a little faster. So these two sons of Kabira, we all know who Kabira is? The treasure of the demigods, the richest of the richest, richer than millions of Bill Gates put together. That's Kabira. So Kabira had two sons. What are the names? Manikbhima. So these two sons were also devotees of Lord Shiva. And because of this, they had gained access to Kailash Hills, and they were deeply involved. Whose telephone is that? They were deeply involved in the activities of sense enjoyment. They were involved in playing with females, just like elephants do. And one day, the great sage Narada was passing by, and Narada saw what was happening. When the ladies saw the sage Narada coming, they covered their naked bodies. But these two sons of Kabira were so heavily intoxicated that they could not recognize that they are standing next to a great sage. What did Narada do? Narada saw they were naked, heavily intoxicated, and Narada was just meditating how the sons of Kabira, because of the opulence of their father, had got so spoiled that they're deeply intoxicated with no etiquette and respect. Narada thought that he should give them, to teach them a lesson. Narada explains in the Bhagavatam here that this body ultimately gets destroyed, regardless of whether you're a pauper or a millionaire. The body eventually gets eaten by worms. In certain traditions, they bury the body. In some traditions, they burn the body. In some traditions, the body is eaten by eagles, but as Prabhupada often quoted, the body eventually becomes dust. Prabhupada used to quote from the Bible where it says, thus thy art, and thus thou shalt become. So Narada was meditating how, being the son of a rich man, they got intoxicated, not recognizing that this body ultimately is going to be eaten by worms and then it's going to become dust. So Narada Muni gave them a curse. A saintly person is always a well-wisher of everyone. Just like Srila Prabhupada, whenever he would write a letter, we sign the letter as your ever well-wisher. Your ever well-wisher, what does it mean? One who cares for you, one who wishes you you well. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mata Parsam Nanyat, Kinchidasi Dhananjaya. There's no truth higher than what I'm saying. But unfortunately, most people don't recognize that. Just like, how many people really surrender to the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita? The Bhagavad Gita is a guide to humanity that tells us how we can live successfully. But very few people really follow it completely. But that is the tragedy of Kali Yuga. So the Lord is the well-wisher, and the saintly person, being a representative of the Lord, is also the well-wisher. Sometimes a saintly person may chastise the individual. Normally, we don't like chastisement. Alright? Why is that? Why is that we don't like to be corrected? Why? What do we buy?
You think it hurts the false ego?
What is the false ego? What else?
False ego.
We have false ego summary. We need a false ego, we think. I know what's best for me, don't tell me anything. That's false ego. I don't want to be corrected. So the saintly person, whoever, goes ahead and corrects even if the other person is unwilling. So what did Narada Muni do? Narada Muni saw these two brothers intoxicated, naked, shameless. So he said, let me give them a punishment. That punishment later on would turn into a blessing also. So the curse or chastisement by a saintly person may initially appear to be a curse, but if we sincerely follow it, turns out to be a blessing. So he said, you too become trees, where a tree stands naked, and these two are naked. But a tree where? Where? In Vancouver. In a Burmese temple. Become trees in the courtyard of Nanmarai. And you become trees for hundreds of still years. 6 months of our earthly years is equal to 12 hours of the heavenly planets. You can imagine the duration of 100 celestial years. But then he gave them a blessing along with that. What was the blessing? At the end of 100 years, you would have an audience with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these two became trees, and the Lord was only tied to a mortar by his mother, because in the Damodara pastime, we see how the Lord was tied to the mortar by his mother. The Lord remembers the promise given by his devotees. Just like in Lord Narasingadeva's pastime, we see that the Lord incarnated as Narasingadeva to keep all of Brahma's promises intact and to protect his devotee, who? Prahlad. But this was a big challenge for the Lord, where Hiranyakashipu had virtually obtained all types of assurances from the Lord. I will not be killed in the sky or the air or water, land. So the Lord had to respect all the promises given by Brahma. He still appeared. And the Lord honored Brahma's promises. So here we see the Lord remembered the promise given by His beloved devotee, who? Nanda. To whom? So the Lord pulls down the two huge Arjuna trees by getting a mortar stuck between the two trees. When the trees fell down, everybody was shaken up. They made such a heavy sound that Mother Yasoda was in the kitchen. She heard a heavy sound. She came running. She saw two huge trees on the ground, and in between the trees was her beloved son. And she said, "Thank God the trees did not fall on my son. If the trees would have fallen on my son, it would have smashed him to death." By the Yogamaya potency of the Lord, the beloved ones of the Lord do not recognize that the Lord, here is the Supreme Lord. If they recognize here is the Supreme Lord and nothing can ever happen to him, then there will be no anxiety. Mother Yasoda would never have any anxiety. Balaram always knew Krishna's supreme position, but not the others. So, Mother Yasoda inquired from the other coward boys who were playing there, "How did these trees fall? Did you see them falling?" She asked all the boys who were playing there. And all the boys said, "Your son pulled down these two trees. We saw them falling with our own eyes." She said, "How can my young son, 2 or 3 years old, pull down these huge trees? Sure, there must have been a windstorm that must have caused them to fall." She would not believe her son had pulled down the trees. In the meantime, the two sons of Kuvera came out of the two trees when they were pulled down. And the two sons of Kuvera, they offered their respects to the Lord and said, "We are able to see you face to face because of the mercy of Narada Muni, our spiritual master. Because of the spiritual master's mercy, we are able to get an audience with you. Had it not been for Narada Muni's mercy, we would not have got this audience." So initially it was a curse, which later on translated into mercy. And the two sons of Kuvera glorified Narada Muni, expressed their gratitude how he had saved them from gross ignorance. That is the business of a saintly person, to save people from gross ignorance. And how does a saintly person do that? By preaching, by traveling, by giving them transcendental knowledge. Just like Prabhupada encouraged book distribution and preaching. He encouraged it, why? Because that is the desire of a saintly person, to see everyone liberated from the cycle of birth and death. We'll discuss more of this when we discuss ISKCON 15th anniversary. So, after being liberated and acknowledging their gratitude to Narada Muni, these two sons of Kuvera proceeded to speak as follows. First of all, they said, "Henceforth." What does henceforth mean? What does henceforth mean? From now on, from here onward. Now, from here onward, we are going to behave differently. So, some of the other we devotees lack in following this advice. Am I correct? What advice is Nanda Kavara Manigiva giving? They are going to describe the. Describe what? The pastimes of the Lord. They are saying, may we engage in Krishna Katha. Inclining the tongue to hear the glory of the Lord. To utilizing the tongue to glorify the Lord is the prime duty of the transcendentalist. And if you describe the transcendental qualities of the Lord, then you also hear about transcendental qualities of the Lord. Shravanam and Kirtanam is the basis for our spiritual life. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 18,000 verses divided into 12 cantos. And if you read these right from the first canto to the 12th, you'll find so many verses where this is being promoted. So in ignorance, we engage in prajalpa. In ignorance, we misuse the tongue. In ignorance, we misuse our ears. But now, having obtained the right knowledge from the right source, we don't want to misuse our tongue. So before coming to Krishna consciousness, we all engage in what is known as prajalpa. And then prajalpa, as you know, is destructive. But now that you've come to Krishna consciousness, now that you've understood what is right, what is wrong, we are not going to repeat the mistake we made earlier. So they're saying, and so may we describe your pastimes, and may you engage in oral reception of your glories. So, tongue and ears have a significant role. Hearing is very important for spiritual advancement. Prabhupada used to very attentively hear the speeches of his Guru Maharaj. And his Guru Maharaj remarked, this boy hears attentively, so one day he will preach attentively. So it is being said, the ears and the tongue, we should describe the glories of the Lord. May our hands, legs and other senses engage in action pleasing to you. So hands, legs and other senses. In other words, we have these senses. Eye, knowledge acquiring senses. Eye, ear, nose, tongue, touch. May they all be engaged in serving the Lord. We have the classic example of Amrish Maharaj. We often quote this example. How he used all his senses in serving the Lord. We may say, oh, but I'm not at advanced level. I can use all my senses in service of the Lord. But the point is, you have to know what the ultimate goal is. You have to know what the ultimate standard is. And then at least, if you endeavor, you can hope to succeed. But if you don't even know what the goal is, what the ultimate standard is, then you will never make spiritual progress. So when we hear about these inscriptions, when we hear they are Manugiva and Nanakuvara are praying, may our tongue constantly glorify your pastime, may our ears constantly hear your glory, we should know this is the standard we have to attain if you want to get what? Free from the cycle of? If you want freedom from the cycle of birth and death, you have to pay a price. And in business language, what does it say? You get what you pay for. Isn't it? Pay a high price, you get a good commodity. Pay a low price, you get some imitation. Ordinary commodity. So it depends upon the degree to which we want to surrender. Now, Amrish Maharaj's example was how various organs of the body can be used in the service of the Lord. He used his hands to clean the temple of the Lord. He used his legs to walk to the temple of the Lord. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you read the story of Gundicha Marjanam. Gundicha is the name of the wife of King Indradumna, who established the Jagannath Puri temple. And Gundicha Marjanam describes the pastime in which the Lord, along with his devotees, hundreds of devotees, engaged in the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. How they were sweeping the floors, hundreds of buckets of water were being brought, and none of them were talking. They were all engaged in just chanting non-stop and communicating by sign language. So the Nandagopal and Manikdeva are giving us an instruction that may we always engage our hand, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, etc. in service of the Lord. The eyes can be used to see the beautiful form of the Lord. And now, thanks to technology, sitting here in Vancouver, Burnaby, you could have access to so many beautiful darshans around the world. You can be in Manipur, Vrindavan, Bombay, all these places on the internet. So use the eyes to see the beautiful form of the Lord. Now we have all these smartphones. These smartphones are really smart. We use them in the service of the Lord. And if we don't use them in the service of the Lord, then they're not smartphones. But real intelligence is when it's used to serve the Lord. So you can even carry all the different deities in your pocket. Just like many devotees have the entire Bhagavatam, all the Prabhupada's books on their phones. So they're praying, please, may we engage our senses in service of the Lord. But further, what are they saying? And may our minds always think of the lotus feet. So what are they saying? May our minds always think of your lotus feet. Thinking of the lotus feet doesn't literally mean that you just meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. When we read about meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord, what we really mean is engaging the mind and thinking of the Lord, analyzing of His instructions, pastimes, form, etc. In the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, what is the sixth chapter called? Dhyana Yoga. Dhyana Yoga. In the sixth chapter, Krishna describes the importance of making friends with the mind. Little do we realize the mind is our worst enemy and the mind can be your best friend. An uncontrolled mind is the worst of enemies. The controlled mind is the best of friends. When is the mind considered our enemy? When the mind is thinking of activities contrary to the teaching of the law. And if the mind is engaged positively, then the mind is considered to be a friend. Krishna says, one who controls the mind remains equipoised in all situations. So what is important is we learn to engage the mind positively in the ninefold process of devotional service. What is the third process? What is the third one? Vishnu Swarana. Sharanam, Kirtana, and Vishnu. Vishnu Swarana means thinking about the Lord positively. So that's what they're saying here. And the Lord will give up. Please be our minds always be engaged positively in thinking about you. Then what do they say? May I hence offer our obeisances to everything. In other words, they offer obeisances to everyone. And may I see the form of the Vaishnava or not from you. So the Vaishnava devotee of the Lord is very dear to the Lord. And the Vaishnava devotee of the Lord is dear to the Lord and to be respected. Now who is a Vaishnava? A Vaishnava is one who desires to engage in service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, when we talk to each other, we think, we normally think we're all Vaishnavas. Am I right? And we become Vaishnavas and we Vaishnavas in training. I would say, you're Vaishnavas in training. Just like if you enter a medical school, you don't instantly become a doctor. But if you go through the process, eventually you become a doctor. So a Vaishnava is fully convinced about Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, his desire is to engage in service in a positive manner. How do you get this understanding? By spiritual association. Therefore, we see that spiritual association is very important for spiritual advancement. Rupa Goswami gave us many wonderful books. At one time, Rupa and Sanatan were holding very valuable positions with the government. But eventually, they both left their jobs and on the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded to where? Where did they proceed to? I came in class and was interacted. Where did they proceed to?
Vrindavan.
Lord Chaitanya gave them three main instructions. Based on the instructions he gave them in Allahabad and Prayag, he told them to write books on devotional service. The Rupa and Sanatan and Jiva Goswami have given us so much literature on the science of devotional service. Then he told them to identify places where the Lord has performed his pastimes. Today when you go to Vrindavan and Braj, you can very easily identify this activity was done here, this was done there. Why? Because the Goswamis and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have done the homework. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered Radha Kun and Shyamkun. And then to write books on devotional service and to inspire the construction of temples. All the principal temples of Vrindavan were constructed on the inspiration of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. So the point is, and Rupa Goswami in his book of Deshamit tells us how we can succeed spiritually. Uchaha Nishtaya Dharya Satya Gama Prabhadana Sangati Agya Satya Raita Sarvi Bhakti Asidati. If you want to progress on the devotional path, then one must be fully determined. And this determination is very important if we want to make spiritual development. And how does this determination develop? It develops by practicing the process of sadhana bhakti. As Rupa Goswami says, by the process of bhajana kriya, you can eventually get to the stage of nishtha or determination. So, these pastimes of the Lord are not imaginary. As we said earlier, Krishna said, Janma Karma Chama Deva. The Lord's pastimes are inconceivable. Therefore, one of the names of the Lord is, what's the name? Achintya. Inconceivable. For the Lord, nothing is inconceivable. The story of the Brahmin and the cobbler. Now the Muni was headed for to give a report on his preaching activities to the Lord. When on the way he met a cobbler and a Brahmin. The cobbler was materially uneducated, but he had unflinching faith in the inconceivable energy of the Lord. Whereas the Brahmana, well versed in the scriptures, was an impersonalist who doubted in the abilities of the Lord. So when Narada Muni inquired the answers to the question, what was the question? How much longer will I have to suffer in the material world? The Lord told him, tell the cobbler that he will go back to God at the end of this life. But tell the Brahmana that he'll have to take several more births. And if they want to know, what was I doing when he spoke to me, tell them what?
What? Flying the riding the elephant.
I was passing an elephant through the eye of the needle. So when Narada Muni returned, the Brahmana very enthusiastically inquired, did you ask the Lord, how much longer will I have to suffer in the cycle of birth and death? And Narada Muni said, you'll have to experience several more births. The Brahmana was shocked. How is this possible? I'm chanting all the mantras. Okay, tell me, what was the Lord doing when he spoke to him? Because very often, when he doubts something, you want to cross-examine it, isn't it? To verify whether it's true or false. The Lord was passing a big elephant in the eye of a needle. He said, see, I knew you were joking. How can you even pass an elephant in the eye of a needle? And when the cobbler was given this information, he jumped up in ecstasy. He said, just see how great my Lord is. He can pass an elephant in the eye of a needle. So, the Lord is a chintya. He can expand himself into unlimited forms. He can do the inconceivable. He can kill powerful demons when he was young. For him, nothing is inconceivable. In this pastime of young Arjuna trees, we see of the Lord, a young boy, a young child, pulled down two huge trees. Can any ordinary child do that? Never. But the Lord did it with perfect ease because Krishna is God in all situations. God is one who has six opulences to an unlimited degree. One of them is Aishwarya Samagrasya. He's the wealthiest of all. Veer Yasya, the six qualities in unlimited degree can be considered to be the Lord. So, this advice is not a good of money or giving. It's very appropriate. We should follow this advice. Try and engage our body, mind, and senses in service to the Lord. And that will be the path of perfection. In order to get purified, in order to progress spiritually, it is essential that we discipline ourselves. Without discipline, you can't hope to make spiritual progress. And discipline in spiritual life means engaging the body, mind, and senses in service of God. And the more we heal, the more inspired we will become to follow the path. Therefore, hearing in the association of devotees is the utmost importance. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I thought I'd leave some time for 10 minutes for questions. Any questions? Yeah.
Thanks, Maharaj. Nalakuvera and Manigripa, did they have a special birth in their last life to achieve this curse? /boon.
A special birth.
Like, did they do something in their last life, some kind of penance to deserve this kind of
blessing?
Yeah.
Well, they were under Kuvera. Scripture didn't mention that, but they were under Kuvera, so they were already in their exalted position. Any questions? Yeah.
How do we balance the, because you were saying how important it is to hear and chant?
Yeah.
That's the important part. Our spiritual life, how do we balance the busyness of life with the hearing and the chanting? How do we, sometimes we may become too busy to do hearing and chanting. Is that
well? We have to establish priorities in life. It's like if you have seven things to do, you make a list. This is most important. This is the next important. This is. So we have to establish priorities, and our priority should be how much chant, how much read. I should not compromise on that. Because without chanting and specified rounds, you can't make spiritual progress. If you want to make spiritual progress, you have to make the effort. And chanting, as you know, results in cleansing of the heart. If you don't chant, your heart will remain contaminated. And with contaminated heart, you won't be able to engage in service of the Lord. So we must recognize, if I don't chant, I'll remain contaminated, and if I remain contaminated, I'll never progress spiritually. More questions? Then you give it hope to me.
Sri Krupa was on this planet, Bharat Maharaj.
Anything relevant in today's class?
Oh, okay, you're right.
How do you allow the false ego?
False ego is one of the anarthas that we are all influenced by. Anartha means that which is unnecessary. And due to false ego, we don't easily surrender to the Lord. Due to false ego, we keep doing even if something is wrong. And the only way to control false ego is through the process of chanting and hearing. Chanting and hearing will help you to clean the anartha. Just like Goswami says, by bhajana kriya, there can be anartha nivritti. So there's no shortcut. Sometimes people say, isn't there some shortcut? The answer is there's no shortcut. The process is the same. Chanting, hearing, result in eliminating false ego. And also, we should have the desire to control the anartha. We have no desire, then it won't take place. So by practicing the devotion service,
what if one is proud that he is chanting?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained on the path of devotional service, sometimes the unwanted weeds grow along with the plant of devotional service. We become proud. I'm chanting, I'm initiated, I'm a sannyasi, I'm this, I'm that, I'm a big leader. But these unwanted weeds make you proud. So what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say? When you see these unwanted weeds developing, with help we should pull them out. That's what we should be doing. Pull out the unwanted weeds. And pride, that I'm chanting and all that can be uprooted if you make a conscientious effort and practice devotional service at the same time. Everything is possible if you make an effort.
One of the subtle body is mind, intelligence, and false ego, we say. It always goes to be next life, next life. Does it come because the subtle body is possible to the spiritual world if you go, or it's not there?
There are two types of egos, false ego and real ego. False ego means I identify with the body, the mind, senses. Real ego means I recognize I'm fool number one. I need to make spiritual advancement. I must listen, take direction. So if you're returning to the spiritual world, then that means your false ego is already smashed and you're observing real ego. That is, I'm a servant of God. So I think we'll stop at this point. Yes, last question.
We had one question.
Sorry?
You're talking about the Damodar pastime?
Damodar pastime.
This is one of the Damodar. This pastime is also called Damodar.
We chanted Damodar Asik at the Parki, Damodar Parki. Is there a reason for that? Like, I don't know why it's at a time. I heard maybe it's the day before.
We chanted Damodar Asik.
The pastime was the day before
Damodar.
We chanted Damodar pastime in Karthik. Because this pastime took place in Kartik. Of all the months in the year, Kartik is considered most auspicious. Tiny bit of service done in Kartik manifests with 1,000 times the benefit. And this pastime was enacted on the day of Diwali. That's fine. Okay, now stop here. I want to stop at 9 o'clock.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for inviting us.
Thank you for listening to His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. For more information, please visit zkgoswami.com.